I'm glad for His goodness. Amen. Of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. Amen. I want you to turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, the 11th chapter. Amen. We covet your prayer this morning. Pray that the Lord will help us to be a blessing to you. I don't know. We're not going to do the altar, brother, singing. But you can get somebody lined up for when it comes that time. Ezekiel chapter 11. Would you stand with us in reverence to the reading of God's word? Amen. I hope the Lord will help me get comfortable enough to preach to you. Amen. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse number 16. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Amen. I want to preach this morning, if the Lord will help us, on a little sanctuary. Amen. God bless you this morning. You can be seated. This book is written to us from the setting of Babylonian captivity. The ideal of Babylon was the capital city of the Babylonian Empire. Several different times throughout history, ancient history, Babylon rose to dominance on the world scene, and some of their reigns were short-lived. But here is the reign of the second Nebuchadnezzar, and during his reign, Babylon reached probably the height of its glory. It was during this time that Babylon became such a great, spectacular city of splendor and riches. We trace Babylon back to Genesis chapter 11. Somewhere on the plain of Shinar, the Bible tells us that the men gathered together and said, we will build us a tower to heaven, and we will make for us a name. It was a revolt against the commandment of God to disperse and to multiply and fill the earth. It was also, I believe, the devil's first attempt at a one-world religion. And he's still after that. Amen. It was there that the Tower of Babel was erected. God came down and confounded the language there. And we know that story. But it was from that beginning that Babylon got its name. Babylon in its original language means the gate of the gods. But according to Scripture, that word Babel means confusion. And it denotes to us a mixture. And the spirit of Babylon has always been and still is a spirit of confusion and a spirit of mixture. Can you say amen? Amen. There's some facts about Babylon I want to bring to you. I want to hurry and get into my message here. But Babylon was a city that was four square in its structure. It was laid out 14 miles on each side of the city of Babylon. 56 miles was the circumference of Babylon. It had brick walls. Those walls were somewhere around 300 feet high. Yeah, they were at least 25 feet thick, and 75 feet inside that first wall, there was another wall. So it was double walled all the way around this great city. On that city wall, there were 250 towers, watchtowers, 450 feet high. They could guard that city. The city of Babylon had 8 massive main entrance gates, and it was lined with over 100 other brass gates. The city of Babylon, the streets of that city were paved with slabs of stone 3 feet a square. The city of Babylon was home to the famous Hanging Gardens, one of the ancient 7 wonders of the world. It is said of that Hanging Garden, it was over 400 feet high. It was built as a symbol of a mountain or a memorial maybe to one of the king's wives. It was watered by early engineering skills. Hydraulic pumps pumped water out of the Euphrates River to the top of that mountain, and it had waterfalls flowing down it. All manner of plants and trees were planted. It was almost like a tropical rainforest in the middle of a city. Amen. Amen. Babylon was also home to the Great Tower, which was a ziggurat or a pyramid type building. It had 53 pagan temples, including the Great Temple of Marduk. It had 180 altars to the god Ishtar. Babylon had a golden image of Baal that was set up, and also a golden table. It was another image. They estimate that the weight of those two images were 50,000 pounds, and they were constructed from solid gold. Amen. Bear with me here. Babylon, it was the center of world government during its time. It was the center of all culture and arts. Everything that was happening on the world scene could find its origin and its influence from Babylon. It was the center of education and science. They were known for their mathematical skills. In fact, our current calendar, amen, has great influence from the Babylonian calendar. They had 12 lunar months just like we do. The Babylon was the center of world economic activity. But Babylon was also the center of world religion. Amen. Amen. Help me, Lord. Revelation 18 describes to us the spirit behind Babylon. It says that Babylon was the habitation of devils. It was the hold of foul spirits. And it was a cage of all unclean birds. Amen. I want you to get a picture of this city we're talking about, this place, Babylon. Because it was in the land of the Chaldeans that God chose to be a land of chastisement for His people. It was into this mega city, if you will, amen, that God brought a bunch of nomadic shepherds from the land of Palestine as a chastening rod because of their sin and iniquity toward God. Amen. As you read this chapter, you're going to find out there are still some remnants of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Amen. Even after God has begun chastening them, they have not turned, they have not repented, and God warns them that there will be further judgments. But this scripture was written to those who were already in exile, those who were bemoaning the rumors they heard about those people that were left in Jerusalem. They had the fortune to be able to live in their homes, to plow their fields, to eat of their vineyards. Amen. But they still would not turn back to their God. And here this people in captivity, amen, are grieved because of it. And that's where the 16th verse comes in. Amen. God said to them, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among countries, yet will I be unto thee as a little sanctuary in the country where they come. Amen. Amen. Help me, Lord. Amen. Yet will I be a little sanctuary. Now that may not be very comforting to us right now. I hope it will be before I get done. Amen. But the Jews understood, amen, what God was saying through the preacher when he said, I'm going to be a little sanctuary right where you are. You see, in Exodus chapter 25, amen, we begin to read about God's instructions. Amen. Through chapter 27, he begins to lay down the ordinances and the instructions to build that tabernacle in the wilderness. Amen. It is in that tabernacle, amen, that God promises. He told him to put the Ark of the Covenant to divide the inner court and the holy place. He said, but it was in that tabernacle, amen, that God promised he would meet with Israel. Amen. Amen. In Exodus chapter 40, amen, the Bible tells us that as they erected that temple, and as they begin to and they begin to anoint that tabernacle, that then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation. congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Amen. That's what sanctuary meant to a Jew. Amen. That means that's the house of God. And a sanctuary is the place you can find God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It was in that tabernacle when the man of God Moses went to it. The Shekinah glory would come down in a cloud, and it would abide on that tabernacle. And when he came out, that cloud was lifted up. Amen. That was God telling all of Israel, I have met with my man in my house. Amen. I have honored my covenant. Amen. To be in my sanctuary. Hallelujah. In 2 Chronicles, chapter number 6, actually chapters 2 through 5, Solomon is preparing, building that fabulous temple there in Jerusalem. Amen. Although God was a God that the heavens could not contain, he made a covenant that he would meet with them in that temple. If you'll do it like I tell you, if you'll honor it, then I'll honor it with my presence. Come on here. Amen. So chapter 2 through 5 is the preparation and the building of the temple. And when we get to chapter 6 and chapter 7, we begin to hear the prayers and we begin to witness the dedication of that temple. We all know what 2 Chronicles 7:1 says. And when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Amen. So that the priest could not minister, enter into the house of God, because of the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Amen. God honored his covenant. He came among his sanctuary. Amen. You got to understand how the Jew thought. They're in Babylon. There's pagan temples everywhere. 180 altars to Ishtar. Everywhere there's false religion. Everywhere there's unclean spirits. But they remember the sanctuary. They remember the house of God. Come on here. Amen. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 44, it was commanded Israel, when you go out into battle, I want you to turn toward Jerusalem, toward the temple, and I want you to pray toward Jerusalem. Amen. And I will hear you and fight your battle for you. We read according to Scripture about those exiled Jews. In fact, Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, amen, said that Daniel went to his house, his window being open, amen, toward Jerusalem, and he prayed toward Jerusalem. Amen. He was remembering, amen, the covenant God made. I'm going to meet you in my sanctuary. Psalms 5, 7, the latter part of that verse said, and in fear will I worship thee, will I worship toward thy holy temple. Jonah chapter 2, when Jonah was in that whale's belly, the Bible said in verse 4, then said I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. Amen. You understand the mentality of a Jew. Amen. The sanctuary meant that's where God is. Amen. The sanctuary meant that's where the presence of God abides. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalms chapter 137. Amen. Here we are by the rivers of Babylon. There we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Amen. They wept over that temple. They wept over that sanctuary. They remembered the glory of God, and it made them cry. We hang their harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. Amen. They're saying this from Babylon. Amen. It's just a memory. Amen. It's just what used to be. Amen. The glory is gone from us. Amen. Amen. For there, they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us myrrh, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the root of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Amen. They were remembering the sanctuary. For to the Jew, no tabernacle, no temple, no ark meant no God. If you didn't have a tabernacle, if you didn't have the temple, if you didn't have the ark, then you were godless. You were without God. And that's where they are in Babylon. Amen. But here's what God said, and this is what I want to preach to you. Amen. God said, in that strange place, in that far off land, in that place so far removed from the days of old, he said, I will be unto them as a little sanctuary. Amen. God says, I'm going to condemn sin. Amen. To where you are. Amen. In a strange land, in a hostile place. Amen. I will make a holy place. Hey, in a strange land, I will make me a sanctuary. And you'll be able to find my presence. You'll be able to find my spirit. You'll be able to hear my word in that little sanctuary. Hey, hey, hey. There are three things about this little sanctuary. Hey, amen. I want to preach. There's a lot more than that, but I'm just going to preach three of them. Hey, amen. First of all, this little sanctuary is a place of asylum or a place of refuge. Now, I want you to see this. This identifies to us with the work of salvation. It is a place of refuge. In the Old Testament, God commanded Israel to set aside six cities. These cities were to be designated as cities of refuge. Kadesh, Shechem, Hebron, Bezer, Ramoth, Gilead, and Golan. Amen. These are for the slayer of blood. Not those that are guilty of premeditated murder, but those who committed manslaughter, if you will. Amen. It was their fault. It was not their intention, but it was their fault. Oh, God, help me. Amen. Amen. It was there that these guilty could run and seek asylum or refuge. Amen. I believe I'm correct in what I'm fishing to say. Amen. But if you study the location of those cities of refuge, they were not within over about 50 miles or about a hard day's journey. Amen. From wherever in the land of Israel you dwelt. In other words, no matter where you lived, amen, you could get to God that day. Hallelujah. Amen. The Roman writer said, amen, that this today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. The first thing they had to do when they got to that city of refuge is they had to confess. If you're going to get in and find asylum, find refuge, you got to confess. You got to come clean with what you've done. Come on here. You've got to admit your guilt. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. The Bible tells us that not only must they confess, amen, but they were to be judged according to the what happened. And then they were given refuge, asylum, amen, in that city under the condition you can never go out. If you go out of here, the avenger of blood has a right to you. And he can slay you. Amen. But there was one clause. It was until the death of the high priest. And upon the death of the high priest, that guilty one was allowed to go free. Amen. Go free. Amen. Go back to his home. Amen. A freed man, cleared from his guilt. Amen. The Hebrew writer declares unto us that Jesus Christ is our high priest. After the order of Melchizedek. Amen. And it tells us that through his death, amen, we find forgiveness for our sin. Amen. I said that little sanctuary is first to the lost man. Amen. You didn't intend to be lost. Amen. But you did choose to be lost. Amen. You made choices. Amen. But God said, in that land of chastisement, I'll be unto you, amen, a place of refuge. probably the greatest message I remember hearing on the City of Refuge was Brother Ralph Horton at the bond camp meeting. He preached on where can a guilty man go. Amen. God said in that land of exile, in that land of chastisement. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Don't think for a minute God will not chasten those. Amen. That walk away from grace. Amen. They'll find maybe pleasure in sin for a season. But the season always runs out. And under the rod of chastisement, if they'll turn toward God, He'll be a sanctuary to them. One songwriter penned it this way. When I could not go where He was, He came to me. I can't get to Jerusalem. I can't get to that sanctuary. Amen. But God said, I will be to them a little sanctuary right where they are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 33 verse 27. Amen. The Bible says the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. He is our refuge. He is our asylum. In Isaiah 32 verse 1. Amen. The Bible said, behold, the king shall reign in righteousness, and the princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in dry places, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Amen. Come ye weary, amen, lost and lonely, Jesus' blood can set you free. There is a little sanctuary, a place of salvation in a weary land, but not just to the weary sinner, to the weary pilgrim. Amen. There is a little sanctuary. Amen. There is a safe place. Psalms 46. Amen. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried away in the midst of the sea, though the water thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river. The streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. God is in the midst of that sanctuary. And He will, and she shall not be moved. God will help her, and that right early. Psalm 61, verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Listen to this fourth verse. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. God said, I'll be a place, amen, of refuge. I'll be a little sanctuary of salvation. Secondly, amen, the ideal, the word sanctuary, it bears root meaning with the word sanctity or sanctify. It identifies as a place of purification, or it identifies with the work of grace called sanctification. God said, I will be unto thee. Huh? Now remember the amen. There's everything you can imagine everywhere in Babylon. Amen. Everything that a Jew from a child has been raised against, amen, is committed openly on the streets in this city of Babylon. Amen. All the things that they were reared to believe unclean, amen, to stay away from, amen, were openly manifested in the city of Babylon. Come on now. Amen. But God said, in that filthy place you are find yourself, I will be under thee, amen, a little sanctuary. I'll be a place of purification. Amen. Psalms 93 and 5, thy testimonies are sure. Holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever. Hey, amen, amen. Titus Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Thank God for the refuge. But that ain't where he stopped. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. In other words, teaching us, amen, that we can live soberly and righteously and godly even in Babylon. Hallelujah. I said, even in Babylon. Amen. Where the pressure is turned on and hell's influences are being, amen, applied daily to us. Amen. God said, I'll be to you, amen, a place of purity. Amen. In the land of pollution. Hey, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. Maybe I can keep my wind up here. But as he that hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That word implies conduct. Not just in what you say with your mouth, but what you say with your actions. What you say with your appearance. What you say with your attitudes. Amen. Be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Amen. I realize we're living in a strange hour. I realize there's a lot of things going on in this world you and I find ourselves. Amen. But can I remind you, none of it has taken God by surprise. Hey, come on here. Amen. Jesus told us, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. He said it's going to be like that in the last day. Amen. And Jesus knew that you and I were going to be living in a modern Babylon. A lot of people make excuses. Huh? Amen. A lot of people make exceptions and give exemptions because we're living in such a bad day. Huh? Amen. But the command was, in this present world. Now how in the world can we live holy in such an unholy world? How can we maintain our separation, our purity in such a polluted place? Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, entirely, completely. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our spirit is our mind. Our soul is our heart. Amen. That is that inward purity. Amen. The only way to remain pure, there must be a purity inside of you that is greater than the pollution. Amen. And the poison that's around you. Amen. Some of us preachers who name it, we get told that we're one-sided. Amen. But you're not listening very well. Amen. You're not listening very well. Amen. I do believe in an external holiness that the Bible said in body. Amen. Maybe I don't know if I hit any of that right now, but amen, I believe in it. Amen. But outside, amen, of a heart that has been purified. Hey, come on here. Amen. It's not enough that we abstain from the world. John said we are not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. Hey, we're not to desire it. Amen. We're not to crave it. When God told Israel they couldn't worship idols, he said not just the idols. He said you can desire the gold, amen, or the silver that they're made of. The very substance is where the pollution comes. why we've got so many people that can live a legislated holiness. They can keep our list. And I believe in them. But they can keep our list. But there's no law written in their heart. And if you don't keep it all on the list, amen, they slip out of the sanctuary and they become defiled. Amen. But God said, that's not what I want for you in a wicked world. Amen. I want to do a work in your life. Amen. A sanctifying work. Come on here. Hey, come on here. Amen. A sanctifying work. Amen. Through the blood, word, and spirit. Amen. That gives us the possibility of living pure in a polluted place. Amen. Galatians 5 and 16. Walk in the spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I know every man is tempted. When? Don't stop it too quick. Here's when he's tempted. When he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But the Bible tells us about a work that mortifies those lusts and appetites. We are crucified to the world and the world to us. Hallelujah. Come on here. There's a double death. We're dead to them. And they're dead to us. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why Jesus could stand. Amen. And say that the prince of this world is come. And he hath nothing in me. Amen. He was faced in the wilderness. Amen. With every temptation imaginable. Amen. Probably a lot of stuff that was unimaginable. Amen. He dealt with it. Amen. But it was all on the outside. Because he was a sanctified Christ. And not only is he a sanctified Christ, he is a sanctifying Christ. He can do a work in a wicked hour. That when the world comes knocking on your heart, there ain't nothing inside of you that answers to the world. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. In the last days, the days of Noah. Amen. The Bible tells us about a man that lived in the early part of those days, at least, a man by the name of Enoch. Yes, sir. Enoch, in a wicked world, when the thoughts and imaginations of their heart were only evil continually, when they were married and given in marriage, eating and drinking, all manner of wickedness. Amen. Enoch walked with God. Right. Amen. One preacher said it this way. Everybody else may have been doing it, but Enoch was not. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on here. And I realize we're living in a world, amen, even a lot of worldly churches that are doing stuff. Amen. Come on here. Amen. But there can be a people who find a little sanctuary, amen, that can bear the testimony. Everybody else was doing it. Amen. But that person was not. Amen. They were not involved in it. They were not indulged in it. They found that place of sanctified living. Lastly, not only is a place of purity, he is a place of holy habitation. This speaks to us, identifies with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Do you remember Exodus 40? I read you some of it, verses 34 and 35. When they dedicated that tabernacle, the cloud descended, the glory of God. In 1 Kings chapter 11, in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and 2 Chronicles chapter 7, when they dedicated that temple, the Bible said the glory of the Lord filled the house. So they could not stand and minister by reason of the glory of God. Come on here. Amen. When God said to Israel, I'm going to be a little sanctuary. Amen. It told them there would be a place where God inhabited, even in a strange land. Hey, come on here. Amen. I realize you and I are in a strange land. I hope you know that. Amen. We're living in a far place from where God has for us. Amen. But God said, I want to be a little sanctuary for you. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which he is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen. God said, amen, your body is a little building. Amen. Just a structure. Amen. A temple, if you will. Amen. For the Holy Ghost. Amen. But I'll come in. Amen. That little temple. And I'll make it a sanctuary. I'll fill it with my spirit. Hey, the ordinary becomes the extraordinary. The common becomes the uncommon. When God comes in the sanctuary. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. That's what happened in Acts chapter 2. Amen. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place, in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were seated. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. The same Spirit of God that got in that little tabernacle. Amen. The same Spirit of God that come into that beautiful temple. Amen. Now he fills the life of a man. Isaiah 28, verse 9. Who shall teach knowledge, and whom shall make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherein ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Where do you go in a Babylon society? Where do you go in a Babylon society? Amen. Hell all around us. How do you that we can't escape it? Amen. We can be like the Old Testament prophet. I wish I had a place in the wilderness for wayfaring men, but you don't. Amen. You can't go away from it all. We can't run far enough. We can't hide anywhere to get away from the world. Amen. What are we going to do? We don't do what Acts 16 tells us that Stephen, Paul and Silas did. Amen. Down in a Philippian jail with their feet in stocks. Amen. Amen. They were not in a church house. They were not in a tabernacle or a temple. They were in a dungeon. But at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And all of a sudden, that prison became a little sanctuary. We must do what John did in Revelation chapter 1. Cast on that barren island of Patmos. Amen. He could not get to the temple. Amen. But John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Come on here. Amen. Where are we going to go in the middle of a world going to hell? Amen. We got to find that little sanctuary. I told some of our people that's into it, and boy, we got some of it all right now. Amen. But I said, the only safe place you can find, sanctuary, safe place, is to get lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. Amen. When I was 15 years old, I need to say yes and be done. We had problems, my mom and dad. Divorced, home broke up, terrible, terrible things. But anyhow, I remember as just a 15-year-old boy, amen, probably 14 when actually this happened, going to bed, my world was gone. I felt like everything was turned upside down. Just a little kid, I didn't have a lot of great understanding, but I went to bed and I began to pray. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And as tears rolled down my face without any fancy words, amen, the Holy Ghost come in that bedroom. The Holy Ghost moved on me. I began to speak in other tongues. And I don't know, the Holy Ghost began to talk to me. Amen, tell me some things. Amen, tell me some things that was going to happen. Amen, tell me some things He was going to do and how He was going to help me and He was going to be with me. From that night, through all that, man, it was some lot of hard times from there on. Amen. From that time, every time I'd go to church, amen, I didn't care what anybody else was doing. I didn't care if anybody else was there to have church. Amen. I made up my mind, I've got to get in that sanctuary. Come on here. Amen. I didn't have time to pray and now lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep prayer. Amen. I needed God. Amen. When I prayed, I emptied myself on the altar until I found the entrance into that sanctuary. Amen. And God kept a little old ignorant a teenage boy. Amen. Through the worst storm of his life. Amen. Because God said, I'll be to thee a little sanctuary. Amen. I'll be a place you can run. I'll be a refuge you can find. I'll be a stay in your storm. Psalm 73. Somebody get ready to sing for us. Psalm 73. I'm not going to read these 17 verses. You know them. David begins, truly God is good to Israel, even to them that are of a clean heart. But as for me, now I feel like today there's some people here that can witness. But as for me, well, it's great this last night. But as for me, that's great preaching this morning, Brother Paul. But as for me, I'm still in trouble. I've still got problems. And David begins to just bare his heart. He began to be transparent like Brother Ralston was talking about. Just told exactly how I felt. I felt like life wasn't fair. I felt like, sorry, wicked people were getting blessed. Me doing the best I could. Everything going against me. I felt like I'd have been better off doing wrong than I was doing right. Amen. But here's verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Did it change all my circumstance? No. Amen. Did it change all my problems? No. But there was a change that took place in the sanctuary. God began to work on me and let me know right in that foreign land, I'm with you. I'm with you. Would you stand all over the house? Where does life find you? We're all living in spiritual Babylon. We're living in spiritual Babylon. I read in the paper right here in America, 30 states, including the District of Columbia, allow same-sex marriage. More than not. Almost every state that has a law banning it is right now in a federal court. They're trying to overturn it. And they're succeeding. There's not been one beach yet. We're living in Babylon. You can be extreme anything but extreme Christian. Then you're a threat. You're a danger. What are we going to do? Because we got problems. We got troubles. We've got to find that little sanctuary. We've got to come into that meeting place with God where God's glory fills us. Amen. Lord, I bring this congregation to your throne this morning. I've tried to preach the burden of my heart. Lord, I don't pretend for a minute to understand all the problems and troubles that are here in this building this morning. Lord, the only ones I'm sure about are the ones I carry myself. But I know we're a troubled people. We're a people full of sorrows. We're fighting a world that is against us. But I don't want to live in discouragement. I don't want to live with a defeated mentality. I don't want to live feeling hopeless and godless in this world. I want to find that little sanctuary. I want to come into that place where I can meet with God. And God touches my heart and touches my mind. Fills my being with His presence and His Spirit. Lord, would You help men and women in this altar this morning? Oh God, would You help them to find entrance? Lord, I can't bring them into it. Lord, I can only preach, but You can come to them, Lord, and be for them that little sanctuary. What about it this morning as they play and sing? Are you here? You feel the effects of Babylon? Maybe you're lost. Maybe you made some wrong choices. You find yourself guilty. He's a refuge. You can go to the sanctuary. The high priest has already died. You can go free this morning. You feel the conflict of the world, the constant pull of the world on your life. It's not God's will for you to live in that tug of war. There's a sanctuary you can get in. God will settle some questions. He'll fix some issues forever in that sanctuary. But what about you're just a weary pilgrim trying to get to God's heaven, but the load's heavy this morning, and you just need to find a place you can stop and rest for a little while, get some refreshing and some strength. There's a sanctuary you can come into. Why don't we come into this altar this morning? Amen. Come on, let's move out. Amen. Let's move out. Let's move into this altar. Find that little sanctuary.
Lord, I want the power of Your Spirit to flow over me, refreshing and refilling and reviving me.
Oh, come on into the sanctuary today.